Hey guys, this is Dana Monsees of Real Food with Dana, and you are listening to the Real Talk with Dana podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to episode 3 of the Real Talk with Dana podcast. My voice is a little bit off today because I was coaching a swim meet all weekend. So if I sound like a raspy man or Phoebe from Friends in that one episode where she thinks she could sing, but only because she has a super raspy voice, things will be fine. I'm not sick, thankfully. But so this week, we are going to talk all about the diet culture cascade. What is diet culture and how it plays into every single one of our daily decisions, especially around the holidays. And what's also cool about this podcast is I have my first guest on the show. Her name is Christina Hoyt Alvarez of Nourish Mindful Body, Mindful Life. She's a badass, a health coach, soon-to-be nutritionist, who works with women to help break the diet cycle by simplifying nutrition and reframing eating healthy as an act of self-appreciation rather than guilt. She's also the creator of the 9-Diet Tribe and, most importantly, one of my great friends. We did our health coaching degrees from the Institute for Integration Nutrition together, which is where we first met. And we both did our Masters of Nutrition degrees at Maryland University of Integrative Health. This episode was actually a Facebook Live video for Christina's Non-Diet Tribe on Facebook. So if you want to see the whole video and us being complete idiots, I'll put the link in the show notes so you guys can head over there and see it. So more specifically, in this episode, we are going to be talking about, as I already kind of mentioned, what actually is diet culture and how the mentality of being on or off the proverbial wagon affects us constantly and how it impacts every single one of our daily decisions and the way we talk to or feel about ourselves. We also talk about how this guilt or restriction mentality relates to other areas of our lives, including exercise, food, mindfulness practices, alcohol, and even dating. So that was kind of a juicy part of the episode that I think you guys will like. I also talk about what it's like to date with food restrictions, and how honoring what your body needs and taking a break from exercise can actually be healthier for you than pushing through and getting a workout in. Finally, we talk a little bit about how doing a Whole30 or a 21-day sugar detox or some kind of strict diet plan during the holidays is not a good idea. Spoiler alert, there are a lot of laughs, knowledge bombs, mic drops, not actually because I don't want to drop my nice expensive microphone, and some random tangents in this episode. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
Well, first, I guess we should talk about how we define diet culture.
Yeah.
Right? So how do you define it? I want to see how we differ.
So
if we differ. It's going to be super casual and laughing basically this entire time. So
before she was like, oh, okay, I'll go first and I want to hear how we're different. Now she's like, oh, you just go.
It's fine. Do you want me to go first?
No, it's fine. I'll go first because otherwise you're going to impregnate my ideas.
That's what I do. I impregnate people.
Okay. So diet culture. So mostly my idea of diet culture is when people are like entrenched in this idea of like, I have to be eating a certain way. And if I'm not, then I have to feel bad about myself because I'm like, quote unquote, off the wagon. Yeah. Right. I think that's probably the simplest way you can put it, but it also relates to all areas of like exercise, food, like mindfulness practices now, right? Mm-hmm. Because people are becoming so involved with like meditation and like yoga and stuff. And it's supposed to be just like a bonus onto like your everyday practices for being healthy, right? But now people are like, oh, if I don't meditate every day, then like I feel bad about myself and I'm like off the wagon and like shame on me, you know?
Yeah, I like that you say entrenched because I think that's so true. And I feel like also it has to do with the I like the shitting because I think that fits in a lot of
shitting.
Like the shitting, shitting,
shitting yourself,
shitting yourself, shitting. Not really, but no. I think what I think it is it comes down to like that constant bombardment and everything, you know, but I think also that it comes into that, that look, feel, be X, Y, and Z, and whatever perfect picture that is. And then, and if you fall below that, then you're just royally messing up.
Yep.
I also think too that there comes into like a whole, hey Jackie, yay. that there comes into like this whole aspect too of someone else's picture of what you should be and what you shouldn't be also plays into it too. Mm-hmm. And let's not even get started on social media aspects of this, right?
I mean, yeah.
We were talking about that earlier. But I guess for me, when I think of diet culture, like if I were to like sit down and really think about it, to me, it is that constant like white noise of like what I should be doing, how I should be looking, how I should be acting, and what that perfect picture looks like. And if I don't do that, that I am not good enough, not fit enough, not right, not pretty enough, not, you know, all of the enoughs, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that like really seeps into your psyche, you know?
Definitely.
And then also like, if you want to get into it too, talk about feeding perfectionism.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And this whole thing of like, people just don't understand, like, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Right.
Oh, God.
And it's like, you know, the falling on, I guess you don't fall on the wagon, like falling off the wagon and then like getting back on. It's like, if you're not 100% with like, you're drinking this much water every day, like you're sleeping this much, you're eating this way, like whatever makes you feel your best, and you're not exercising, like if one of those things isn't in line, especially like around the holidays and stuff, right? People are like, so I had one cookie, like F it. I'm just gonna, you know, eat all of them and then feel like shit about myself. And then tomorrow I'm gonna start with like the green juice and the exercise and like,
totally.
Know,
I think that,
stuff.
I think that's a really great segue in how it shows up, right? Because it shows up in constant yo-yo dieting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like always chasing that on the wagon, off the wagon type feeling, right? Mm-hmm. You're either dieting or you're completely like throwing everything out and saying, I'm eating all of the Oreos and the whole thing. Like, like that, it's either one or the other. I think that that's how it shows up in like in the day-to-day in our lives, right? Yeah.
And you can really see it like, say for people, like if they're going to go on vacation, like a beach vacation, right? They're like, all right, sweet. Like I'm going to diet for 4 weeks
oh my
and
God,
be like super so strict and everything. And they like weigh themselves before they go, right? And they're like, oh, I'm this like this weight before I go on vacation. Then say like you go on vacation to Hawaii or like some island, right? They're like, I'm going to have one of those like fruity drinks every day. Like I'm going to eat whatever the heck I want. And they're like really enjoying themselves and like not stressed out or anything. And then they get home and they're like, oh my God, I feel so gross because I was eating all these foods that I don't normally eat. They probably weren't drinking enough water, definitely not eating enough vegetables. And then
definitely
they're like,
drinking
oh my
a shit
God.
Ton of alcohol too.
Right. And they're like, oh my God, I gained like 5-10 pounds in like 2 weeks or something. It's like, well, if you don't eat anything and then you eat a lot of things, you're going to gain weight. That's just how it works.
Not to mention feel like crap.
Right.
You know, like one, energetically feel like crap.
Yeah.
And then two, also feel like crap in like literally the foods that you're putting in your body just aren't feeling good. And then you feel like afterwards that you have to, you're not as motivated to fix it because you don't have this final destination of this vacation that you were working so hard for.
Yeah.
So then you just kind of keep going and then that feeds the, okay, I have this event coming up. I think that happened a lot in the wedding industry.
I was going to say
that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. I know so many women who are so hardcore about losing a crap load of weight before their wedding.
Yeah.
And then afterwards they gained like 40 pounds and they have no motivation to keep going because that's all they kept doing. Like, you know, the hashtag sweat for the dress and stuff like that type
sweating
of mentality.
For the wedding.
Yeah. I did not do that. No.
And I think I'm healthier because of it. So
yeah, I feel exactly the same about myself before the wedding, post the wedding, during the wedding.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
The exact same. Oh, well, Larissa put, yeah, this whole cultural expectation has 100% kept me from dating. Oh, that's such an interesting perspective too, because it does keep you from dating.
Yeah.
In like a way. I mean, I know for me, like before I met Casey, I didn't feel good about myself. And so it was hard for me to kind of put myself out there. So I basically like stopped dating for like a year and actually only focused on
on yourself.
On myself for like a full year. And
in
I
there.
Decided, like currently doing.
Shut up.
And I just
currently doing that.
And I just focused on myself. And then I felt like kind of like once I felt a little bit more better about myself, it was easier to kind of attract what I was looking for, yeah, in like a partner. Cause you know, I said this, I was at this event last night called Speak Up in Baltimore. And I talked about this there too, about how like attracts like, and I think that's really important too. Mm-hmm. So the better that you feel about yourself, the more you're going to attract someone you want that you feel, you know, and vice versa. I mean, this isn't a dating conversation, but I like that point. I think that's interesting, Larissa. Dana, do you have anything to add?
I think in terms of dating, there's kind of two ways that you can go about like how diet culture can kind of prevent you from dating. Like on the one hand, if you're still stuck in the like, whether you want to call it the like restrict binge cycle or like the on the wagon, off the wagon thing, like if you're going out and dating, the thing in our culture is like, basically you're like expected to like drink alcohol, right? It's like social lubricant, right? So, lubricant. I mean, that's what it is, right? Like if you go on a first date and you're like, oh no, like I don't want a glass of wine or whatever. They're like, why aren't you drinking? Yeah. You know, it's kind of a weird thing.
It's taboo.
Right. And so even if you just like don't want a freaking glass of wine, like it's not that big of a deal. But so I could easily see how like if you're trying to, you know, eat the way to feel your best, or if you're eating because you're being really restrictive, like that can prevent you from going on dates because you don't want other people to see, like to let your freak flag fly, right? Like
I
can't speak English. It's fine. This is normally how these things go for me.
This is my life.
Yeah. But so then there's that side of it. And then there's also like, I mean, if you're like us and you have celiac or you have food restrictions for allergies or whatever reason, like it's really awkward to bring that up when you're dating, right? Like I try and not bring that up at all because I know people are going to immediately judge me for that.
Yeah. Why aren't you getting a beer? Oh, right. I just really like wine.
Right. Like why are you getting a burger with no bun? Oh, because I don't feel like dying inside for the next 3 days, but I'm not going to say that to them on the first date, you know?
I don't feel like dying today. So there's that.
Yeah, so there's that.
That's interesting too, because I think it goes beyond just dating also. Side tangent, but it fits in. So a former client of mine, we were kind of talking a while ago about how she felt like this, like when she was trying to do like an elimination, or we were working on changing her dietary habits anyways, like for healing. Like she had like some stuff that she needed to heal. And she would say what would happen to her is when she would be doing something like that, because her friends would entice her and say, what, you can't just have this like cake and like, you can't just have this. And that, I think that happens a lot in the holidays. Like, why are you 100%. Restricting yourself right now? Eat the gingerbread cookies. Yeah. Like do whatever, you know? And I think
you
that
don't
happens.
Want some of these homemade cookies that I made. I'm so offended. I almost just cursed.
I think we already have like 9 times, but I think that also feeds into it too. But I want to see what some of people are. Jackie said something too. I haven't been able to work out.
Larissa, I just read your comment. Whoa.
Oh my God. He tried to feed you off his fork and cut. Oh my God.
That's weird. You should just not go out with him. That's my suggestion.
Seriously. Oh my God. Oh my God, that's so bad.
Okay,
so it's almost as bad as like ordering your meal for you. She's gonna have the lobster roll. It's like, no, I'm not.
Aggressive,
I'm gonna pick up my own food, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jackie said,
I haven't been able to work out like I normally do this year because of things like a concussion, a minor leg procedure, and the most of out of shape I felt physically. And yet I feel the best in shape myself in regards to emotional, mental, et cetera, health. And
that's
I've dated a guy
awesome.
In this season. In this, oh, I like how you call it this season of your life, with no problems at all. I think that's
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
First of all, that's hashtag goals.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think that's really important too, is that it doesn't have to be, I think what's refreshing about that and what's so good about it is that, one, the reason why it's working so well for you, at least I suspect the reason why it's working so well, is because you're honoring your body. Mm-hmm. You had a concussion and a minor leg procedure. Girl, if you're going to the gym and working out hardcore, you're not doing your body good.
No.
Like that is not what your body needs.
Cause more damage than healing.
Totally. Exactly. So I think ultimately what you're doing is helping yourself feel physically more in shape because you're honoring the fact that your body can't do that right now.
Yeah.
And that ultimately you're letting it heal. So that's what we want.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you're being fulfilled on like multiple levels too, like on your spiritual level, on a mental level, on a physical level, and you're nourishing your body in all of those ways. And like, you don't always have to nourish your body with exercise.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, I'm a big exercise freak and like, but I mean, you we are. All know this.
CrossFit.
But yeah, but like moderate with it, you know, like if I take 3, 4, 5 days off, I'm not like, oh my God, my body's going to internally combust. Like yeah. it's fine. You know, sometimes you just need a longer rest to recover. And like, you can't, the thing is with like all these different types of like stress, I mean, this is on a tangent also, but everybody's talking about like adrenal fatigue and stuff, yeah. right? So like, your body has a certain threshold for the amount of stress that it can tolerate before you just feel like, oh my God, I'm going to cry and sit down like the next person that cuts me off in traffic.
Yeah.
Right. And like stress can come from your food. It can come from your exercise. It can come from your emotional and spiritual health, your relationships, like all these things. But if you're really stressed out or if your body is physically stressed, like it's recovering from a concussion or surgery or whatever it is, you can't add more stressors to your bucket or it's going to be too much.
Yeah.
So I think you're just honoring that with all these things that you're doing and it's making you feel much better about yourself. And then in turn, like in this season, like you've felt really good about yourself and that's why you've been able to date. Well, one yeah. of the reasons. I'm not going to tell you why you've been able to date.
Because she's badass.
Yeah, because she's badass.
We all are. So let's get back on topic. Back to oh, yeah. how it shows up. I feel like we haven't talked about how it shows up because it does show up in dating. It does show up in all these different ways too. But I think to get back to going back to the diet culture.
Because we can't just stay on one topic. Also, no. side note. So when she came over to stay at my place last night, we basically just talked for like 4 hours about, I don't even know what, but it was not just like one linear thing. It was like, oh, like you've been dating this, like this and this and this and
ooh,
this,
there's a bird.
And all of these things. Yeah. It's like my dog where I don't know where she is, but she's like super ADD, but that's how exactly we were last night. So sorry for getting off topic, but now we're getting back on.
Side tangent to get back on topic yeah. to talk about how we were off topic.
Yes.
Currently now getting back off topic.
Hashtag goals.
I think what I want to go back to how it shows up, and I think we've kind of talked about it this whole time, but in that feast or famine, I think that happens a lot in a lot of the ways we're talking about. Either yeah. we feel like we have to over exercise to compensate for something else that we're doing, mm-hmm. or we have to restrict all of our calories because we're not exercising enough.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that kind of feeds into each other. But another thing that I was thinking about also is how it impacts our daily decisions, right?
Yeah.
So I think we're kind of like dancing around it this whole time. But yeah. I think if we're going to get straight to it, it's guilt is such a big one. Like
yeah,
either you're feeling guilty because you're not eating enough, or you're feeling guilty because you're eating too much, mm-hmm. or you're feeling guilty about the foods that you're eating in general. I feel like that shows up in a lot of ways and how diet culture kind of feeds that, because they're constantly telling us what we should not or be doing or what right. the next best thing is.
And then it's also really confusing too, because I mean, if you follow a bunch of different frames of mind, like, I mean, I follow people that are like vegan, paleo, like people that eat gluten, even though I can't, like people that are Whole30 and then like keto and all this stuff. And all of them have good ideas, right? But then when you're getting multiple different sources of nutrition information, like, first of all, nobody can tell you what one thing is going to work for you unless you've been working totally. Like one-on-one with a practitioner and you've figured that out. But like, no vegan yogi that has 200,000 followers on Instagram is going to know you personally enough to tell you like, oh yeah, like this is going to work best for you. Right. Like, so you really need to try all of these different things to figure out what is going to work best for you. But then the problem is like, when you're trying all of those things, you're conflicted as to like, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
Like, is this the right thing for me? Like, do I feel bad about this? Or like, should I feel good about this? I don't know. So it's a mind fuck. Basically. Like, excuse my cursing.
I think that's also how it flows into the back into the constant yo-yo dieting too, because then if you do something and you do it for like, let's say you do it for like a week and you're like, I had no results, you know, like, and then you're like, ah, and then you get mad and then you're constantly searching for that next perfect answer,
yeah.
that perfect thing for you that's going to make
next
everything
3-day juice cleanse.
Yeah, exactly. That that, like, and I think also it's like that quick fix type of feeling too.
Yeah.
Which is why I really hate how diet culture impacts us on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Because one, it makes us feel bad about ourselves, because then we think, okay, well, if it works for them and all these 200,000 people that are following her, yeah, then what's wrong with me? And it's, first of all, it's probably not working for all 200,000 yeah, followers for that person, one. And two, right, you don't know what that person's actually doing,
yeah,
behind the curtain.
Yeah. And you, that's the, know, thing about social media too, is like, even all of these people, like, whatever influencers they are, like, whether they're fitness celebrities or like Instagram or like they're food celebrities or whatever they are, like, you have to realize that, like, social media, most people, it's only the highlights, unless, mm-hmm, they're being totally honest, right? So it's like, that person might be like doing yoga on top of a mountain in Colorado and then like eating the perfectly arranged smoothie bowl and, yeah, like all of these things. But like, what are they actually doing on a day-to-day basis? Like, is this actually nourishing them the way that they need? Like, yeah, are they being nourished in all of their different, like, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual bodies? Like, or are they neglecting a bunch of those because they're only focusing on, you know, one thing?
Yeah. No. Oh God. Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
Knowledge bomb.
Mic drop.
Yeah. Mic drop, knowledge bomb. What did I do last night? Music, music, music.
Okay, that was random.
Music, for my podcast music intro.
So Larissa said, shame that you're eating certain things when you've said you want to lose weight. Oh, yeah, my God, so true. I think, yeah, that is such a big one too. And then if you, God forbid, you indulge in something that you like, it's like, oh, you're not, yeah, actually doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Is what bothers me too.
Or if you, the other thing is like, if you live with other people and then you say you're doing something and then they catch you eating something that's like not on your plan or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, you're eating that. Or even if they're not the kind of people that would actually say something, like, you perceive that they are going to say something about you. So, for example, I'm working with a family right now, and the daughter has been doing a lot of like secret eating. And like, she really wants to lose weight, but I'm pretty sure she thinks she's going to be judged by other people in her family if she's eating like all these like granola bars and, you know, other things which like aren't that unhealthy. But so the only reason that the parents found out is they found like candy wrappers and like four granola bars in her trash can. And like, these foods, she doesn't even like them. So it's a really weird cycle of like, I'm assuming the only reason that she's doing that is like, not because she's actually hungry, not because she likes those foods, but it's because she thinks that even though her parents won't, she thinks that other people are going to be judging her because she's eating these foods that aren't necessarily like on her plan.
Yeah.
You know, so
no, it's so true. Cause I think also that there's this, I think it does go back to that shame. And those, like, what does Brene Brown call them? Shame gremlins, oh,
yeah,
right? Where they're like,
yeah.
Like, I do picture them, like, the like evil gremlins. Christina, like, oh, yeah, you're bad.
Yeah.
And this, you, is good. This is bad. You're bad for doing something that's, right, on this bad list.
And you have to, like, you have to build up walls against that, which kind of sucks. But, I mean, even people that you don't know can, like, be able to cause you shame about your food choices. Like, this is a true story. It happened to me a couple weeks ago. I was at a bar for happy hour with one of my friends, and we were getting like margaritas and like plantain chips and guacamole, which Christina knows those are like three of my favorite things.
Kryptonite.
Right. So like, I don't eat them every day because I know it's not the healthiest thing for me. And like, that doesn't make me feel my best. But so there was a random guy next to us that was like trying to talk to us. So we're both like, okay, we're in the middle of a deep conversation right now. Like, you need to see your way out. Mm-hmm. But anyways, he's like, oh, so what do you guys do? And I was saying how I'm a nutritionist, and he goes, oh, you're a nutritionist and you're like drinking margaritas and eating plantain chips and guacamole. And I really wanted to be like, yeah, I fucking am. And what are you going to say about it?
Yeah. What's your problem?
Like, the thing is, like, again, it's kind of ties back to the social media thing. Like, you don't know what these people are doing outside of that certain moment.
Yeah.
Right. So like, you cannot be judgmental of that person for just that one moment. Right? Like, you don't have the whole picture. And at the same time, like, if people are judging you for that, then you need to learn to just like put up a wall or like just not let it affect you somehow, which is easier said than done, obviously.
Yeah.
But
You know, I was, this triggered something in me when I was, you mentioned it earlier about the different bodies. So you have like the mental, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
And I
that's
think also,
woo-woo shit.
I know that's my woo-woo shit right there. But I think also what feeds into it too, is that you have like the, you have different seasons, right?
Yeah.
And there are certain seasons where your spiritual body is going to be so well nourished, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other periods of time where your physical body, like your diet is on like
yeah.
your lifestyle and that capacity is on like full throttle, like killing it.
Yeah.
And then you might have a difficulty in like your emotional house or something that going on at the same time. And I think that's like where you can't get too bogged down with that all four things have to be aligned and perfect and well-nourished throughout all of those things. Like ultimately, like, yeah, that's what you want. You mm-hmm. want to do that, but you have to self-preserve each one of those areas and come up with some priorities for each one. And they're not going to be perfect. You
yeah.
can't do all the things at once. But having some kind of set thing where you feel just kind like better. Like, so like for instance, like, I guess a good example might be, let's say in your physical body, you don't feel great when you have margaritas and tons of guacamole mm-hmm. and plantain chips, right? But your emotional body is like, oh, yeah. I really needed to relax.
Yeah.
Like I really needed
and
to
And you're
chill.
Also being nourished in a different way because like most of the time that is a tradition between like my best friend and I. Like we always, whenever we get together, which like isn't that very often, like we make margaritas and plantain chips and guacamole, right? So like that's a thing that we do together. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's nourishing you not only like from the food and like you get to enjoy the food and the drinks and whatever, but like you're having an awesome conversation with this person that you've had a really long relationship with. So it's nourishing you on that level too.
Yeah, no, so true. I think it does. It goes in those different seasons. So Jackie wrote, so it so bothers me when people are like, what about your diet? Aren't they, and they aren't making any changes to their lifestyle themselves. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So true. Like what do
you flip them the bird.
I know. Dana doesn't mess around.
Yeah. How's your diet going? Tell me about that.
And how's your mental health?
Right.
Exactly. You know, like, or, you know, like whatever it is.
That bothers me so much.
You know, and sometimes like they all thread into each other too, you know, like you're.
Well, it's other people projecting their own insecurities onto you.
So
right.
True.
And you need to remember that because a lot of the time, like when you're trying to make positive changes within yourself, it makes a lot of people around you insecure because they think that you might be doing it like in spite of them, or you're doing it to like show, like to one up them or something.
Or you're judging them.
Right.
They
or
think
they
that
think
you're
judging
them
even if you're not.
Yeah.
Right?
And then they're judging you for their perceived judgment.
Right.
Of you. Whoa.
Yeah.
It's like mirror looking
right.
inside mirror. Looking
right.
Inside
it's like
mirror.
Inception all over again. And like this really comes up, especially around like big holiday meals,
oh,
right?
Totally.
Like Thanksgiving, Christmas, like whatever you celebrate. So I was actually just talking about this in my new podcast episode that will hopefully,
yes!
hopefully be up soon. All about the holidays and stuff, but
shameless plug, go listen,
you know,
good one.
But so one thing that really comes up during the holidays is like people have a lot of trouble turning down certain things. Like say your grandmother's apple pie, right? You love eating it, but like you either don't love that it makes you feel the way that it makes you feel physically, or you might have like an actual physical reaction to it. Like, I mean, I had to tell my grandmother, like, I'm really sorry, but like, I can no longer eat your apple pie because I have celiac and like, I will go to the hospital if I eat it. So like, that's an easy way out. But if you tell someone like a close family member or friend or whatever, that like, you don't want to eat the dish that they brought because
mm-hmm.
you think it's unhealthy or you think it's going to make you gain weight. Like, first of all, don't ever do that. And second of all, that's going to make them feel like shit. Right? Because you're saying like, oh, this thing that you put time and effort and love into like isn't worth me because it's going to make me gain weight. Then everyone around who's eating it or who is about to eat it is like, oh, so like I shouldn't eat it either because then I'm going to feel like crap
yeah.
and I'm going to gain weight and all this stuff. But at the same time, like no one should be able to make you feel bad about the food choices that you want to make. Right? So like, for say I didn't have celiac, but I just knew I had like, say apple pie gives me stomach aches or something.
Or you just don't want to eat it.
Right. And you can just say, and if you just don't want to eat it, but it doesn't give you any problems, you can just say like, you know, it doesn't make me feel great. Because if you say, oh, I just don't want to eat it, they'll be like, why? Here's some pie. Don't you want to try some? And it's like, yeah. Oh my gosh, chill out.
Or it's you the holidays.
It. Right. It's the holidays.
Like, lighten up.
Right. Lighten up. Like, have a cocktail. Eat all the things. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. Come January 1st, we're all going to do a diet and it'll be fine.
I know. Yeah, it's so true.
Aggressive eye roll.
So I think we should probably start to kind of like wrap up the conversation and bring it back to the diet culture thing, because it does, these are all the ways that it shows up, right? And those yeah. are really important conversations, mm-hmm. but they're really easy to go off on to like every different type of avenue. So I wanted to end the conversation with what we can do. So there's a couple of things that I kind of thought about, and maybe Dana, you can bounce off of them and it will kind of come back to you. But one thing I was thinking about is one, boundaries, you know, yeah. setting up your own boundaries for yourself and what feels good. And ultimately it always goes back to what feels right for you and in your body mm-hmm. and what you want to be eating and how you feel good or not so good when you eat certain things, and honoring that, right? Yeah. Like honoring, I just heard someone recently use the term honoring their body's inner wisdom. And I really loved that.
That's awesome.
Because it really is just all about like tuning into yourself, which I think is really important. So one, setting up those bound, like, so one, acknowledging them, like listening to those inner, yeah. that inner voice saying like, this isn't good for me. Not because it's not good for me because I need to lose weight or I need to fit some kind of external thing, but more because I personally don't feel good when I have certain types of food, or yeah. I don't feel like my most like energized and what's the word, like that vitality yeah. that I want in myself mm-hmm. when I eat certain things, because energetically it's not working for me. That's not taking care of that physical body. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then other things too, is that self-preservation. And part of that is building in those boundaries and creating practices within each one of those modalities for those like seasons of your body,
yeah.
of yourself. And then the last thing I was going to say, and this is a big one, and I think also it's the change the way that we talk to ourselves about it.
Yeah.
Acknowledging the fact that something is making you feel less than is something to say, okay, why am I feeling less than? What can I do about it? And what is this triggering in me? And it might mean unfollow. Like yeah. it yeah. might mean like, I'm not going to follow you right yeah. now. And note to self, if I'm one of those people who does that for you, feel free to unfollow me and revisit me later.
Same with me.
Like, I totally get it.
If you don't like my cursing, I can't guarantee that you'll want to follow me.
Like, you do you. Like, I think that's really important. So I think that one, you should only follow people who make you feel good.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. Who make you learn about yourself in a different type of way, or experience yourself in a different type of way.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, that's always feeding into a positive relationship inward. But I think those are some of the ways to do it
mm-hmm.
with the diet culture. And at least knowing that when you're hearing stuff like in a magazine or you're seeing someone post something, just acknowledging the fact that that's their perspective and that's their story. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that is the right thing for you.
And it doesn't necessarily mean it's healthy either.
Yeah, totally. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's healthy
right.
either. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that plays a huge role. So anything else?
Stop telling yourself you should do certain things.
Yeah.
And stop creating yes and no foods.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, start creating foods that make me feel good and foods that don't make me feel good.
Yeah.
I think just that mindset shift helps a lot.
Yeah, it's tough, because I feel like it's so hard, because I think that too, that there's the elimination diet. So like, if you're on like a right. candida thing, like, yeah, you're doing it for like a certain reason. And I think that's something to distinguish. Like, we're not talking about if you're yeah. on like an elimination diet because you have, or suspect that you have like candida overgrowth, or you need to do some internal healing.
Parasite, autoimmune, parasite, chronicle,
anything, autoimmune, any of those.
Any of those things.
Those are healing modalities, right? Like, that's meant
and
to heal.
That's also only for a short period of time.
Exactly.
And you know that in the future, you'll be able to reintroduce different foods.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with those is you have to remember, you can't think of them as like, this is how I'm going to be forever. Because a lot of people get stuck in that too. Like if we go to the Whole30 as an example, like it works really well for 30 days and it's supposed to be a 30-day program. Even Melissa Hartwig, the creator of the Whole30, says this is supposed to be a 30-day program and then you reintroduce other foods to see how you do with them. And then from there you can create your food freedom and see how that goes for you.
Yeah.
Right. But then there are people who are like, oh, I'm going to do a whole 90 or whole 120 or whole 365. And then they're in the yes, no foods. They're in the, I shouldn't be eating these. And then eventually it gets to the point where they're like terrified to eat other foods that are off the list. And it just feeds
that diet culture.
Right. Exactly.
So I think that was an important clarification that I wanted to make sure that we made, that what we were talking about through all this is really ultimately about what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. If you're doing something for a healing reason, or you're doing Whole30 because you have some internal healing that you want to do, or you're suspecting that there's foods that you're sensitive to, that's a whole nother.
Right. There's nothing wrong with those.
There's nothing wrong with that. So as long as they're used in the intent that they're meant to be utilized.
Right. Exactly.
There's a big difference. All right, guys.
That was a mic drop.
Any other questions or comments? I like that you guys were asking questions and saying stuff. That was fun. Anything else? And we're going to shut down. God, I'm so weird.
Cue outro music.
All right. Bye, guys.
Peace.
Bye.
I really hope you guys enjoyed this podcast with my first guest. Let me know what you think by commenting on the blog post for this episode. And as always, you can find me at Real Food with Dana Everything, and more importantly, Christina over at Nourish, which is nourishmbml.com and nourishmbml on Instagram or Facebook. Comment on the blog post for this episode with tell me what you thought. And please remember to rate and subscribe on iTunes, because I've heard that's important in getting my name out there, maybe? Probably. As you can tell, I'm still trying to figure this whole podcasting thing out. You guys are the best. Talk to you soon.